Welcome in to the fastest hour in hockey. It's the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We are live on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary, Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, and Sportsnet Plus. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, technical directors Derek Brandeo and Jake the Snake Schultz. As a reminder, this hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. Day four of no hockey.
Day four of the six-day break between Stanley Cup.
I got to tell you, this weekend with no hockey sucked.
Yeah, I missed it.
I needed something.
You know what it is? Sammy has to work the weekend games, right? Because of Leafs talk. So he's like, oh,
that's
it's
over.
Nice.
Yeah, I know. Oh, yeah.
So canceled. That's what I'm saying. That's why he's, though, he's glad right? to have the free time. I just have to sit there and watch the games, so I miss it.
It got canceled. Yeah, the Leafs canceled it on us.
They did. Leafs talk got canceled by this.
Another reason why you're sour.
I mean, listen, they should call this show, instead of Real Kipper Morton, three guys who haven't thought about hockey since the mics went off Friday.
I'm reading the Count of Monte Cristo. It is fantastic.
If the conference final goes deeper, then we got hockey on the weekend. That never happened. There's really no way to guard this, guard around it.
Well, I mean, Kip, do we need 6 days off?
But how do you do that? Like, if buildings have been committed or if the buildings are unavailable, what do you do?
And I mean, if that's the case, you're right. I guess you just have it go on for 3 weeks like we're going to do here. But I do think that fans check out. And actually, this is something that McKee and I briefly touched on before the mics got turned on here. Was like, can we just drop the puck September 15th? Do we really need to start mid-October so that it takes us to damn near July?
This is an American.
It's not hockey.
It's an American thing up against football and college ball and all of that.
Let's stand in there. It's an American thing. Let's stand in there and fight instead of just like.
I don't know. That's Homer versus Frederick Tatum there, buddy.
We're getting killed. We're getting killed in that fight. But no one's watching now anyway.
I got news for you. The last 20 years, Canada's gotten kicked in the teeth a little bit here.
So the idea for people who don't actually know is that attendance in the U.S. at NHL games goes through the roof after February when the NFL's done.
Yeah.
And eyeballs on TV. So they want as much hockey post-February in the U.S. as possible, which if you're Canadian... sucks.
If fans have disappeared a little bit or gone astray the last 4 days and potentially six, I think this series has a chance to pull them back right away. I think this has a chance to attract a lot of eyeballs.
This you're right. This series itself, these two teams, this matchup is enough to make me say I'm staying invested here.
Now, this ratings matters. In general have been down in the States, I think even significantly. But if I'm not...
That's market.
If I'm not mistaken, I think Edmonton and Florida did well last year in the final.
Yeah.
But it did go seven games, but I think it did well.
Well, I mean, the thing is you have the best player in the world involved in the final. It's always going to garner a little bit of interest.
Intriguing for everyone.
And I do think...
Who's never won a cup.
Not to go full like ratings talk here, but I actually think this is a pretty awesome opportunity for the NHL because, like, you know, NBA fans will be excited about the Oklahoma City Thunder versus the Pacers in the final.
Tough draw.
But that's not exactly the most crossover event in terms of getting, like, the casuals involved. And Connor McDavid versus the... against the defending champs with a chance to rebound. It actually has a chance here to kind of, you know.
So let me throw
a few.
It does.
Let me throw this at you, okay? We're coming off Four Nations. We're coming off a Canada kind of U.S. feel. And we're coming off a very violent, right? 9 seconds. We got a chance here to recreate all of that in the final.
Oh, you want to fight?
Well, listen, I don't
Kane
want...
Kane and Kachuk off the opening
draw? I don't know about a fight, but this has a chance to be a really violent series.
It's also true that... Huh. Yeah, and it's also true that, like, we just went through...
It checks all the boxes.
Definitely.
Around the time of the Four Nations, you know, you had the, you know, Trump takes over as president. We have a Canadian election in that time. There is a bit more of a nationalistic... vibe.
It works for me.
Sure,
it's got me rooting for the Oilers, boys.
It works for me.
Yeah,
but I will say, you know, the while we're doing ratings talk, you know, I see people online on Twitter being like, ratings down in the U.S. And it's like, yeah, look who's in the playoffs. The Rangers, the Flyers, Detroit, Chicago, Boston.
First time, in history that major...
No original six teams.
No original six teams.
Yeah.
So that didn't help at all. But
and a lot of Canadian action, too.
So one step back for two steps forward.
In theory, yeah.
In theory.
Like, what's Florida going to be like on the other end of this in 7 years? Are they going to have more solid, consistent fans?
That state's been in the final, like, all those years.
Six straight times.
Wow.
Right?
It's almost like...
Think about that.
They have a competitive advantage.
Oh, Murphy.
Six straight years? Come on.
They've been loaded.
So you want to go to... I'm not doing this, but I'm going to do it just a little bit, okay? You're going to credit, like, those six consecutive years in a stand, like a final, on tax saving.
Listen.
Stop it. And don't give me listen there.
I won't.
Cooper.
I won't say it's the only reason.
Okay.
It's a contributing factor. It is. It is.
No, they just picked the right guys.
Okay.
Okay. Sure. Come on.
Yeah. Wasn't for those taxes, the Leafs would have been in the final.
They picked the right guys, but they had a bigger pool to pick from. More guys were willing to be there than Kevin Cheveldayoff had the choice of picking.
Yeah, and I think it was Anson Carter on TNT that said, okay, so for the first 30 years they were in the league, nobody wanted to play there.
Yeah, but it's not
like now they discovered an accountant told them how much they could save, and now they all want to go down there.
There's nothing that like disproves players saying we don't listen to the media more than the fact that now the media talks about taxes and players are like, hey, tax savings, that's appealing. But it has become a much bigger story in the last like 5 years.
In a couple minutes, we'll welcome Elliot Friedman, Hockey Night in Canada, 32 Thoughts. As if we don't hear enough from him, we're going to give it to you, the listeners, one more time, Elliot. But we're going to go around the league with Elliot, I think, a little bit too.
Yeah.
Plenty time to tee up.
This is kind of his time.
Florida and Edmonton, but we'll get some dirt out of him.
You said there was no hockey this weekend. There, in fact, was hockey last night. The Memorial Cup.
That's right.
The London Knights have now won three Memorial Cups. Just really makes
congratulations to Dale and Mark Hunter.
Yep, you said it.
You okay with that?
No, I'm not.
You really hate them, eh?
Oh my God! Yeah, we don't need to get down this road again. But Easton Cowan named the MVP of the tournament.
Easton Cowan. Now, he was drafted by Florida, right? Toronto? That's good news.
Okay. Thank God we don't have to talk about that anymore.
All right. We'll get Elliot to talk about it as we welcome him in. Boy, this is like a vacation for you, eh? Like the longest break you've had like in 30 years.
I don't know about that. It's no break until July 2, Nick. You know that.
Have you had a little time for each, though? Like this weekend, you actually got to be at home?
Yes. Bad for my wife's boyfriend, but good for me.
That's great.
More tennis lessons, I think.
That's right. Milos.
We figured with you, we'd kind of go around the league. First of all, obviously there's going to be plenty of time for all of us to dissect still in the next few days, a Stanley Cup final. But, you know, in terms of Elliot on these days off, how much have you been on the phone in terms of the feel going into the month of June? I got a trade board coming out here in the next little while for Sportsnet.ca. It could come out as early as today, so keep an eye on it. And one of the things that I kind of stressed on it, Elliot, was that with the draft changing the way it is and teams not physically being all together under one roof, basically, it could start the combine, which is going on this week in Buffalo, where all the teams are there doing their various interviews. But it could be a new breeding ground to start trade talk. What are your thoughts on that?
I think you're totally right. I also think, guys, that I'm more convinced now that this decentralized draft will be a one-year thing. Yeah. I think we're going to go back to the previous way next year. But okay,
can you rephrase that? It'll be a one-year flop.
A one-year flop. Yes, a one-year flop. Everybody, I think, kind of realizes now it was a mistake. And I think they realized it was a mistake when they saw what the Sphere was like. But by then, the commissioner said, no, you guys voted for it. It's too late to change it now. But, yeah, Nick, you're right. This week's going to be big. They got all the teams there. They've got all the agents there. There's going to be a lot of talk. There's going to be a lot of conversation. We've seen a couple signings today, Clevin in Ottawa and Yanni Gourde, Tampa Bay. And I think there are going to be more. And I think we're going to find out this week what's real and what isn't. And the one question I don't know yet, Nick, is that usually teams wait until the draft. You know, the pressure point isn't now. The pressure point is when you got to make your decisions right there. I wonder if, because people are here, we might actually see some action this week, simply because you're never going to be face to face again.
So what happens this time of year, and what can happen in terms of, like, for you, what are you keeping an eye on? What sort of things, when you're talking about this, could come out? Is it trades?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, for example, like, Nick's got his trade board, and I'm sure we've probably heard a lot of similar names. I'm sure Nick's heard some that I haven't heard yet. I'll wait to see it. But, you know, like, there's Rossi. Like, that's a big name. There's the Buffalo guys, like, they've got Byram. Paterka clearly is trying to make noise to force them to make a move. You know, the Rangers have a bunch of guys out there. Nick Hague is a name that I think is getting a lot of attention. You know, there's a lot of players out there, Justin. Like, if you really think about it, Justin, how many truly untouchable players are there in this league? Truly untouchable players.
Yeah, five.
There aren't
a handful.
Yeah, there aren't that many. So I think you're going to see a lot of players discussed. Rasmus Anderson, Thatcher Demko. You know, and then there's the free agents. There's, you know, Nick Ehlers. You know, what are the Jets thinking here? Are they still trying to make this work? Do they still think they have a chance to make it work? You know, do teams say, hey, I'll give you a pick if you let me get my hands on to talk to this free agent early? And then there's, of course, you know, your Fridays with Doug McClain. I always remember Doug's line about tampering. It's not, I'm looking for this guy. I'm looking for a left shot who stands about 6 foot.
Yeah.
You know anybody like that?
Yeah.
So, like, all of this stuff is going to be going on right now. All of it.
You're watching and listening to Elliot Friedman, Hockey Night in Canada, 32 Thoughts. So let's start out west in Vancouver.
Yep.
I think it's safe to say everybody's watching and listening on Pettersson in terms of where Vancouver goes, and with a pending no-move clause kicking in July 1st, and whether or not how aggressive do they want to be to look around and look at options here. But, you know, with a coaching change, a major coaching change behind the bench, would you ever see a major trade with Pettersson before July 1st, in your opinion? Or is this just a feeling out process to know what's out there with Pettersson?
I think they've known what's out there for him for a little bit of time, Nick. To me, it simply comes down to if they want to do it. Jim Rutherford is the guy who spearheaded signing Pettersson. He was the guy who was most behind it. He was the guy who wanted to do it. I don't think everybody in the Vancouver organization was sold about it when they did it. But Jim Rutherford, who had the biggest voice and the biggest vote, he was. And so you have to tell me that he's changed his mind, or he feels there's something he's got to do differently. Now, I think at different times this year, the Canucks really thought about it. You know, I think one of the issues was that Pettersson struggled so much this year that it kind of hurt his value. And I don't think ultimately the better thing to do, Nick, is solve your problem as opposed to trade your problem. And I think that is their goal. The other thing too is, you know, if you're concerned about Quinn Hughes' future, and clearly they are, how do you feel about yourself as an organization if you have a situation where both Hughes and Pettersson could be gone in a couple of years? I think you would consider that a major disappointment. So I know they've looked into it. I know they've considered it. I think they know exactly what his value is. But I always remember that Jim Rutherford was the guy who made the decision to sign him. It wasn't unanimous. He did it. So you've got to convince me that Jim Rutherford has changed his mind.
Can I follow up with Vancouver?
Yeah, for sure.
Just, you brought the name up, Quinn Hughes. There's no question. Mm-hmm. They're on the clock with this guy, with his contract in a couple of years. So it's not like anyone's dousing anything about whether or not this guy wants to stay or not, and he's not going anywhere. Is this just going to grow legs here for the next little while here? And will we feel like the link between Vancouver and New Jersey can only grow legs from here on in?
Nick, as you know, there's only one thing that's going to change all this, and that is Vancouver has a really good year, and Vancouver is a contender. Last year, when they went to the second round of the playoffs and took Edmonton to seven games, nobody was talking about any of this stuff. Nobody. And this year, they have a nightmare of a year. They trade Miller. They miss the playoffs. Their coach leaves. Now this comes out. You think guys don't leave situations where they think they can win. Guys want to win.
Unless they got two brothers they really want to play with.
Yeah, but you know what? Yeah, you know what, Nick? I got to tell you something. I think if he thought Vancouver was a winner, I don't even think this would be a question. I really don't. If he thought he could win here, you know, you can, like, the thing is, like, I had one agent say to me a couple years ago, he had a player that was a little bit unhappy, and he had a team that had, like, a monster deal on the table for him. And he said to the player, that one of the things they talked about was, like, you could win here. And he goes, yeah, and they got a lot of money on the table, yeah. He says, look, like, if you sign the contract and things go badly, you don't think we can maybe force an exit to go somewhere else? Like, you can always do that. Paths can always change. You know, these agents, they have a lot of power. Players have a lot of power. Situations go badly. Players have more power in the NHL than they've ever had before. So I look at it this way. If you're Quinn Hughes, I think more than anything else, he wants to win. And if the Vancouver Canucks are in a position to where – are in a situation where they can win, I don't think we're hearing a lot of this noise. But – like, Jim Rutherford is a smart guy. He doesn't throw that comment out there at the end of the season by accident. He knows they had a really hard year, and if it continues to go like this, Quinn Hughes is going to start looking and saying, I don't want to be somewhere where I'm not going to win. So I don't think this is a question if the Canucks are a winner. I think it's purely a question because they're not going very well.
Which is funny, and this is just like a philosophical observation here, but, like, it's so hard for gamblers to guess which teams are going to be good from team to team. These guys signing 8-year deals are looking at franchises and going, I don't think that they're going to have a great, like, how can we know, you know, outside of the immediate next year? It seems to me really risky to pick teams based on, I think that's a winner there.
It's a great question.
The problem is, Friedrich, it's not a question. I apologize for that.
You know, ultimately you take your chances. Like, some guys, like, for example, last year, how many of us thought that Nashville were going to be in a really good spot after the summer they had, and they had a disaster of a season?
Right.
It just,
and Capitals were awesome.
Capitals were awesome. Capitals were fantastic. I mean, there's some teams you look at and you think they're always going to be good, and you take your chances. It's amazing to me now, like, this whole debate about Florida and the taxes, it's a factor, but remember, a few years ago, nobody wanted to play for the Panthers. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until they became a good organization that people wanted to play for them.
Yep.
Elliot, we heard from Toronto Maple Leafs Brad Treliving the other day. What's your interpretation of DNA? Is that just a fancy way of saying we got to get rid of some players?
You know, I heard your take on it last week. I was listening to you guys on Friday afternoon after the press conference, or Thursday afternoon after the press conference. And, you know, Nick, you know what it means. You know that that decision might be made for them. Like, one of the biggest pieces of their DNA is an unrestricted free agent, and everybody thinks he's leaving. So they don't even need to change their DNA. It's going to be changed for them if it happens that way.
You've heard this in high school, I'm sure, many times. I'm breaking up with you. Right?
That's right. That's right.
Not the other way around.
That's right. It's what's George Costanza? You're giving me the it's not you, it's
me. I invented
that. Yeah, it's I think the thing about it this year, guys, is if you really look at the free agency class, it's not that deep. Like there's a lot of teams out there with a lot of cap space. How many teams out there are talking about we need a 2C? There's like 15 teams out there saying we need a 2C.
I believe this is the start of inflation, if I know how economics works.
Yeah, there's not a lot of 2Cs out there. Yeah. Not every one of these teams is going to get what they want to get. You know, Bennett, I don't know. Like, do you guys buy that there's a team out there that's going to pay Bennett $10 million?
God, I kind of do. Like, I don't think there should be. But
can I just explain to you, though? Like, if they are willing to pay him $10 million, do you know the equivalent to staying in Florida would be under $8 million?
Yes, 100%. I understand that.
So if you have trouble believing that a team could go to 10, why on earth would he leave?
Wait, didn't you just tell us taxes don't matter?
Well, in this case, it does.
Okay.
I'm all for players getting paid. Like, I have no problem seeing anyone get paid. And I think at the end of the day, I would expect that Bennett is likely to stay down there. But, hey, if you're going to get that money, I'm all for it. But if I was Sam Bennett, I would almost be thinking, like, that $10 million price tag, that is going to be like a 150-pound weight on my shoulders.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think guys need to like take some consideration.
Another reason to stay.
There you go. Well, it is for sure.
Yeah, 100%. I'm totally with you.
And especially totally in Toronto.
Well, that's, you know, like actually the talk with like Marner and Marner's value, you know, part of the thing is like certainly someone will give him $14 million. But if he's here and he's making more than Matthews, it does change a lot of perception and how you get talked about, yes, and all that sort of stuff. So today in The Athletic, I read that James Myrtle wrote ranking the 32 destinations of Mitch Marner could go to.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you. I'm not going to ask you to do that because we only have 38 minutes left in this hour.
I got to tell you, like, Myrtle and Jonas are like Ruth and Gehrig with their Leaf articles, like how the McDavid plan could work. And oh my God.
It's the best. So, can you give us a couple of suggestions here if it's assuming it's not the Toronto Maple Leafs? And maybe I'm wrong in doing that.
No, you know what? Look, like,
what's the link with Vegas? The link with Vegas, Elliot? You talked about this before on 32 Thoughts.
Yeah, I think they talked about a deal last summer potentially involving Marner, and I think Shea Theodore, and obviously it didn't happen. I think one of the reasons was that I think Vegas' preference was to sign Theodore, and I think that at the time Marner was showing no inclination to be traded anywhere, which was his right. Now, since then, I've had people tell me that that wasn't the only team that Toronto talked with. I haven't been able to narrow down who else it was. But I think Vegas makes a lot of sense. Vegas could use some scoring on the wings. They would have to do some cap gymnastics to do it all. But, you know, Kelly McCrimmon, you know, he goes after good players. And Marner is a really good player. I think the team, I'll tell you guys, if there's one team right now, everyone's kind of watching and saying, I'm really curious to see what they're going to do.
I know which one. Oh, Utah. I'll give you another one after you're done. Go ahead.
Yeah, Utah was the one. Like, teams believe that Utah is determined to introduce themselves to the NHL in a big way. And I'm curious to see what. I got to get used to calling them the Mammoth. What the Mammoth are going to get up to here?
The Mams.
The Mams.
I don't think that's going to stick.
I'll give you a team for Mitch Marner.
Okay.
Okay.
Dallas Stars.
What?
Look, they can't score. They can't score. They're losing a ton of Jamie Benn, and like they've got room, and they need someone in the middle between still the Wyatt Johnstons and some of the older players.
Listen, that's a great fit.
And, it's a Stanley Cup contender. They've got Rantanen. Rantanen needs help as a as a star kind of second kind of guy. That's to me is a fit.
No taxes there either, right?
I like that call. Good team. People like
flat.
Playing there. Yeah, 12. Give them the same deal they gave Rantanen.
Yeah,
done.
Would that be okay? Would that do it?
Sounds like it would.
Well, again, Dallas, 12 million is like 17 million in Toronto.
The numbers keep getting weirder. Hey, I got to ask you.
The way we're going, Nick's not wrong with this.
Like, no. Hey, I'm only talking about housing.
You know, while we're asking about things near and dear to our heart, the New York Islanders have a new GM, president, whatever. I am curious to know Lou Lamoriello's role, because it sounds like he's not going to leave the organization. No. And also, he kept on Chris Lamoriello, it sounds like, with one of his final acts, his final pardons.
Yeah.
And Steve Pellegrini. I know that that has made people crazy. That happens more than you think.
Is that right?
Justin, it's kind of a badge of honor for people to, if they get fired, like obviously the GMs, those are big paying jobs.
Yeah.
Not everybody is, you know, secure for life after they have them, but you can make a lot of money being a GM now. And like Rob Blake, before he was out in LA, he extended a whole bunch of people.
So their people, they know they could be gone. They're going to try to do it right by their people who've been good to them.
Yes. Yeah. Like that. And I'll tell you, I know that the Islanders fans are upset about that. And look, Chris Lamoriello, someone sent me his record as GM of Bridgeport, and it's not very good. But Justin, I'll say, like, there's been a lot of GMs over the years. Like, it's kind of frowned upon if you have a chance to take care of some people who maybe don't make as much money or aren't as secure, and you don't take care of them before you're blown out of a job, particularly if you've done well financially.
Yeah,
it's really seen as, I know, like, one manager once told me he considered it a real badge of honor that before he got fired, he extended a whole bunch of people whose lives could have been thrown into chaos.
And I respect that's cool, but it's upsetting for fans who want their organization to get a fresh start. And then they're like, let's keep all of the people, you know? Anyway.
I don't know that that's going to happen, Justin. I think it's still early to say. Mm-hmm. Like Lou Lam, like I heard in the process that whoever got this job was going to report directly to Scott Malkin. He wasn't going to have to report to Lou Lamoriello or anyone else. And at the press conference, that was confirmed, that Matthew Darche reports directly to the owner. Now, if Lou Lamoriello stays around, could he have opinions on things? Yeah, I'm sure he can. But Darche came out of nowhere to win that job, Justin.
Oh, really?
Like at the beginning, at the beginning, there was no way they were hiring someone with no experience. But Darche, he won that job. And I just don't see them giving him that job over a bunch of other people. Like they interviewed Holland. They interviewed, they wanted
Holland
to talk
turned
to
it Ford down though.
Talked. Yes. Yeah. He did.
Holland had the job first.
Yeah. Yes, he did. He turned it down, and Jeff Gorton, if he was available, probably would have had the job, but he wasn't available. But you know, Bergevin was there. Kekalainen was there, and Darche beat all those guys out for the job.
So
they're going to give him a chance to do what he wants to do.
Regardless of who he answers to, Elliot, it is still intimidating to see Lou Lamoriello there, and also below on the bench, Patrick Waugh. Like those are very, very strong, opinionated guys. My understanding is he didn't have an option on Patrick Waugh either. He had to take him because they owe him a lot of money for the next 2 years.
Yeah.
And they're going to try to make the playoffs next year.
It might be three. I have to check.
Yeah. At least $7.5 to $10 million bucks if it's the third year that you're talking about.
Yes. You know, you're right. Like it's a huge job like that. Like one of the reasons I think Ken Holland turned down that job is Ken Holland's a lot closer to winning the Stanley Cup in LA than he is on Long Island right now. And that's a factor. There's no question about that.
I don't agree. Anyway.
Well, you think the Islanders are closer to winning the Cup than the Kings are?
Have you seen the Kings in the first round? They look good to you. They look red hot. And Anze Kopitar getting better? How about Drew Doughty? Anyway, sorry.
Just one more thing, Elliot. Maybe it, it, the conversations in general with some players with no moves, maybe we'll just talk about Morgan Riley, who's made it real clear that, you know,
he doesn't want to go here.
Do you think moving forward we'll see more teams put pressure on guys with these clauses to give them up anyways? What do you think happens with Morgan Riley?
I'd be surprised if he would go. Like, one guy who I do think will consider moving is Marchessault, but it's a very low amount of teams I think he would consider going to. He's got a no-move clause until 2028, but I think he's indicated to them that there might be a couple teams he would consider. But I do think that what happened with the Rangers this year, it isn't something that I think anyone would try to emulate, but I do think that, like I'll say one thing, like, I had an agent tell me today, I have a list of all when my lists are due. And, you know, as you imagine, any agent would, because I know if I'm a minute late with the list,
they'll pounce.
My guy's going to get, they'll pounce. Mm-hmm. So I think they're definitely expecting it. Maybe not the same way the Rangers handled it, but when someone opens up a door a little bit, you take advantage.
Chris Kreider going to get traded this summer? One of the names you're hearing?
You know what? I think the biggest thing I get on him is the health.
Yeah, people are worried.
Yeah, I mean, what does he have, 3 years left?
Yeah, it sounds right.
3 years. And, you know, the health is the big one. I think the Rangers would like to do it.
Yeah.
But...
Sorry, two more, Elliot. Yeah.
The biggest question I heard was health. Yeah. Just how healthy is he?
Fair enough.
I'll say this. I think the guy this summer, like I talked about him a little bit today, but I think one guy this summer is going to have a lot of action around him is going to be Hague from Vegas.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, on my list. Absolutely. Yeah. Hey, great stuff, Elliot. Is it true that Sportsnet chartered a bus for you to go from Edmonton to Florida back and forth?
You know what's funny, Nick, is that we timed it out and we were joking. Okay, let's just imagine game two, the moment the game ends, the buzzer sounds. If we jumped on a bus and drove from Edmonton to Florida, the moment game two ended, could we be there by the start of game three?
Battle. The Oregon Trail. Yeah.
So once again, whoever wins game one, you cheer for, right?
No, you know what? I'll say this. I'm not. That's Scott Oak. I'm not. Hey, I expect it to go seven. If it doesn't go seven, I'll be pleasantly surprised. That's the way I look at it.
Fair enough.
We are looking forward to it. Keep up the great work, pal, and we really appreciate your time today, okay?
Thanks a lot, Freach.
My pleasure, guys.
One of the very best on the inside of the National Hockey League, Elliot Friedman.
Good stuff.
We don't usually take impromptu mailbags, but we got a tweet from a guy named Mike Gunn on Twitter.
Said, oh, yeah. I know Mike.
Nobody loves Mitch Marner more than John Cooper. Wouldn't be surprised if Marner ends up in Tampa Bay. That's my dark horse destination.
Well, they need a couple of those cheap signings today, like Gord,
Yanni
who gave
Gord
up what,
ask,
6 years.
Let me see where Tampa Bay
two,
falls.
2 million?
Article.
What do they give him?
6 years
at
2.3
million.
And Gord's got to be what? 30?
Well, he's a little older, yeah.
Three.
Yeah, that's a nice retirement contract.
Give me, if you're thinking about the Tavares Leafs contract, but I don't know if the AAV would be that low, but. 6 years at something like that.
6 years.
Yeah, and then you like listen. You're doing the TANF thing. Yeah.
You don't have to.
I know you don't have to. I know you don't. I'm just
With
saying
Tavares,
that if you were going to,
you could. You got a lot of house cleaning to do before you get to Tavares.
I get it. I'm just saying.
And John, here it is. Whatever it is, 2 years. Maybe three at the most. Here's the number.
Oh, my God.
Here's
three
the number.
3 years. Yeah.
Yeah, 2 or 3 years. And here's the number. And love you to take it. If not, we understand.
I thought he was going to say love you to bits.
Love you to
no. It's a different beast because this will also be a retirement contract for Tavares if he stays in Toronto.
Yep.
And you got to be careful with him.
In that case, you could see him going 4 years because he's 34 and he just scored 38 times. See him signing a fourth year.
But would he not take the 3 years to go somewhere else to take the fourth? And the answer is no.
No,
he's made $100 million. He's not chasing the fourth year at $4 million to move.
He wants to chase a cup. Maybe that last year.
See, I don't even know. He wants to retire a Leaf. That's his number one. If it's his number one priority above trying to win a cup, then he's going to sign whatever he's basically offered.
Not a lot of trade Willie talk, eh? Ever? Like, it's always, even like the Matthews stuff this year, you started hearing, trade Matthews.
I feel like that's 100% flipped because the first 4 years of his career, it was exclusively trade Willie.
Yeah, that's true. And
it was always, he was the first.
Don't you remember, like, we did these mock trades?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Before they even played one game. I had Montour
and Richie
and Nick Richie, who was a top 10 pick at the time and was the next Lucic.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Everybody, like, once Willie got going.
You know who else remembers that?
Everyone on the entire internet.
Yeah.
Yes.
They love to give that one to you.
Maybe if they had Montour on the blue line the last 4 or 5 years, Sammy.
I love Montour.
You'd be like.
I love Montour. But he had like one.
Rich is great.
Champion.
Rich is great. Game time,
Rich
boys.
Struggled.
Game time.
Good player. Yes.
It's game time. Presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's ever ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. So there's no sports other than baseball. So I thought I'd look ahead to the series that is starting on Wednesday night.
My family went to the Jays game.
Can you remind us? Who's playing again?
A lot of fun. Go watch a game.
I went that same game.
Awesome game.
Sat in the outfield. Fantastic.
It's just like hitting off a pitching machine, the Athletics.
Baseballs were smashing off of the batteries. Yeah. It was entertaining game, so I really enjoyed myself. So there's a bunch of futures on Bet365 here, and the one I was looking at is players' points in the series. Mm-hmm. So they have a over-under number for many of the main principles involved. So for example, Sasha Barkov, his total in this series is 5.5 points. And the number, the over is a favorite at -130. The under is a underdog at +100.
I'd consider that underdog. We should mention, congratulations to Mr. Barkov, who won the Selke Trophy.
Wow.
Which was handed out to him by some children at a meeting that they had, like a charity thing. And he also won the King Clancy Memorial Trophy.
I'm going to save my...
I don't know. I'm not looking for any
So
other.
This is the new thing now, right?
Leon Dreisaitl got a vote for Selke, first place vote for Selke.
I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, this is what they want to do now, hand it out in certain community areas.
Yeah, and they want it to be like...
Instead of having an award show, right?
They want to create these moments. And this was a kind of a cool... The way they did it, like they handed him the first one and then they wheeled in the second one, some kids did. And he's like... Barkov just says the right things every time he turns around.
You think on the internet that gets... enough attention, like that's the new way to kind of present.
I didn't know this happened today. I
need notifications.
I wish that we knew
NHL
a little
awards.
More clearly that it had happened, but I don't.
I don't know. That's me.
But I don't care because the award show was so bad and so
to me
painful.
Like, these are the ultimate could have been an email. Just email me. Tell me who won.
It's not enough attention.
It's good
it's just,
for me.
I don't know.
But what's the right way to generate the attention? Maybe
I'm
on the ice
guy.
Before the game. How about that?
I'm the wrong guy.
Yeah, that's what they do in the NBA.
Do they?
With MVP. Like,
just quick note before we drop the puck. Yeah. Barkov, Selke. Woo!
And the last one I'll bring up is Connor McDavid. His total is 8.5. And he is -130 to score over 8.5 points. Imagine being so good at hockey that you are favored to score over 8.5 points in the Stanley Cup final.
Buddy. Last year, everyone's talking about how much they shut him down. He had 12 points in the series.
Yeah, just in the most meaningful games, they shut him down.
Yes, two games where he was quiet.
Yeah. Anyways.
Games 5 and 4, he had 8 points.
That was Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Okay, Let's take a quick break, and then when we return, I've got a trade board going up.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
We need that.
Grab a couple of names.
Now, don't waste all tomorrow's content, man.
Let's just talk about golf for the last
one. Hold on.
All right, some trade names when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, it's Ben Ennis.
And I'm Brent Gunning.
We got you covered on all things Leafs, Raptors, and Blue Jays every weekday morning, 6 to 9.
It's the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This hour, Real Kipper and Bourne, brought to you by Bet365, Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. Just before the break, I mentioned trade board coming out on sportsnet.ca. So a few names out there that we're going to keep an eye on from here on in.
Yeah.
The one that I probably think that is almost imminent for the Minnesota Wild is Rossi.
You do, eh?
I do, yeah. 60-point guy. And
Austrian?
Sorry?
Austrian?
Swiss? I don't actually know.
I'm just Googling. I do think so.
He's Austrian.
Yeah, I do.
It's weird. It's not weird to be Austrian, it's weird to be in the NHL.
Yes, correct.
A 60-point guy now that you'd think...
Young.
Yes, young.
Young. 23?
But you would think Minnesota would be all over this player as one of our pieces here,
yeah.
But that's not the sense that you had during the season, where at times his minutes were questioned. He was on maybe a fourth line on many occasions. And I get the sense that Billy Guerin or maybe the rest of the staff or the coaching staff, just not, they're not sure what to make out of him.
Mm-hmm.
And whether or not you want to treat him as one of those up-and-coming, like, star 60, 80-point guys where you lock him in for 7 or 8 years, mm-hmm. at $7 million, that's not happening there.
This guy is the most Penguin of all time.
Yeah, Kane too, but Penguin probably more than anything. Buy low on a 5'9" guy with huge upside.
He's not, yeah, exactly. He's not big. Billy Guerin, I think, likes his players as big as
he
can get them.
What's tough is, you know, great year, right? 24 goals, played all 82 games, 18-15 per night, 60 points. You could see that having value to someone. But I could also see a team being like, I'm watching the Stanley Cup final, and if you're 5'9", you better be Patrick Kane.
Yeah.
You know, or
yeah,
something to that effect.
I mean, the thing is, you mentioned those long contracts that they give all these RFAs coming out of these, you know, when they have good years, when they're high picks. It just feels like all these agents probably now are just pushing for the 8-year thing, because it feels like a lot of them get it, no? Like you would imagine that Rossi's agent, whoever it is probably pushing to get the 8-year deal, and he's like, Guerin doesn't want to do it, so.
It is crazy, though, because, like, you know, if you go back, I'm looking at his stats. So this year, 60 points in 82 games. Year before, 40 points in 82 games. Year before that, he's playing for the Iowa Wild. You know, like he's only been in the league 2 years. Mm-hmm. So you could see him having more upside.
You're hedging for sure. There is a possible offer sheet threat based on, I think, the success of the St. Louis Blues last year on Edmonton. There is a thought that someone could come in and offer him the max number on a return of a first round pick and a third round pick, which would be $6.8 million.
But like, if you're yeah, Billy Guerin, you'd take the first and third all day long, wouldn't you?
Oh God, I'd hate giving up a 60-point guy and then going back into the system and waiting 3 or 4 years for the next 60-point guy.
They're trying to be good now. The Wild, they don't suck. They're trying to be good. So you're right.
The Wild are in a tough spot, but they finally have money freed up. But Kaprizov, Eriksson Ek, Boldy as the top line is good.
Yes, and Boldy was another guy that got the seven.
Your fave. You love
million.
Boldy.
Buddy, put me on that team. I love
Boldy.
Yeah.
Boldy's a player, man.
Yeah. Elliot Friedman mentioned the name Nick Hague. Vegas has made huge financial commitments to Petrangelo, who's got a few years left.
Mm-hmm.
Noah Hanifin and most recently Theodore here. Is there even room for Nick Hague,
26-year-old RFA
right now?
26-year-old RFA who is a monster, 6'6", 240. Buddy, this is
This is Ekholm.
It kind of is. I don't think that's funny, except he's more prone to punch you in the face. He'll fight you.
But he doesn't necessarily have much offense in him, which probably doesn't push him up towards...
He has no offense.
He has no offense. So, to me, Hague doesn't get to 7 or 8 million, but he can get to 5.5, 6.
What would concern me is that he plays 17 minutes a night. And you know who that is. If you look at the Leafs, it's Benoit. It's, you know, those type of players. I think he's has upside beyond that, but I mean,
but that's not
a lot of teams lining up to get a 6'6" Benoit.
Toronto should be one.
Well, I would agree, except who is going to do the breaking the puck out, scoring, puck handling? They got a bunch of trees.
Well, they're also looking for, you're right, another puck handling defenseman, which brings us to Morgan Rielly.
He's just not going to go anywhere, huh?
I don't believe that for one second.
Oh, you don't?
I
that's the first time I've heard that out of anyone's mouth. Every time I bring it up, people are like, no, I think. There. It's like, well.
I think those.
They might
I think,
not like it. They
I think if you're the Leafs right now, it doesn't really matter if it doesn't work, that something needs to be done. I honestly believe that whether you have a no move or not, if it looks like it's not going anywhere or there's not a mutual feel between two parties, in this case, Morgan and the Leafs, that we're on the same page, then Morgan should consider lifting his no move. Mm-hmm. Why would you want to stay somewhere where you're not really welcomed or have a future of someone believing in you that you are part of the solution, not part of the problem?
I just think the problem is that he's not a problem, right? Mm. Like, well, and that's fine to think that he is, but like,
Sammy, what? Speak.
But nobody...
No, I do think he's as much. I've loved the guy his whole career, but I think the last couple of years he's been as much of the part of the problem as anybody else.
That problem, but I mean, like, he can justify roughly his salary. People like him.
Sure,
like he's a.
I'm so with you.
Yeah. Sure.
Listen, I believe he's legit number three at the most.
Yeah.
On any team, including a contending one.
With this the cap going play, up, that cap hit looks more like
look
that.
Yeah,
he can play 20 minutes on any team at any time.
They're not underwater on his contract, I think is what
they're,
I mean.
And they're not underwater.
Yeah.
But if whatever the chemistry between him and the team and others with him, it just ain't working. It's not working, and we're going to have to change something up. And, you know, give us a list.
Yeah, I would be very... I'm interested to see if the Leafs...
Morgan can come
do
alive.
Do something they haven't had the chutzpah to do in other places.
Morgan can come alive with another team. I think Seth Jones showed a lot of guys that if the environment isn't right, the chemistry isn't right, doesn't mean you're no longer good. It means that you just... You can thrive somewhere else again.
Yeah.
And Morgan's not thriving here.
No.
To put you guys on the spot a little bit, if you're looking around the NHL, what are the teams that you're looking at and saying in the next 4 or 5 years, like, so you're looking for the next Seth Jones spot where you plug into and you're like, that's a solid team. They know how to win. They're going to be good. That's a winning team.
Yeah.
You know, what teams are those when you look out there, like Vegas that people are talking about with Marner? I think Vegas is going the wrong way. You know, they've spent a lot.
And they're older now.
They're older now. They spent a lot to get where they are. They don't have any first.
That series against Edmonton was pretty telling.
They're not right there. I think, you know, Eichel has hit his ceiling. Like, anyway, that's just my two cents. Dallas could be one for sure.
But then earlier in the show, you said, how do you really know?
How do you know? No, that's but right? As I'm saying. Like,
how do you hedge?
Know, but if you're sitting here, people are trying to guess.
Yes.
And... Where? Colorado? Where?
Is our show over already? We're just getting into some good conversations.
Kipper, you're watching videos over there. What are you watching?
I don't know why my volume just keeps popping up.
Who's
it's
on
over.
The come up? Utah? Utah
Sammy.
On the come up?
Yeah, we're done.
Get us more time.
Ottawa?
Yeah. Sharkies are going to be coming up pretty soon. They got that Sam Dickinson played for London. Stud D-man.
NHL ready, I read.
He's really good. Really.
Here's the good news. We get to do an extension tomorrow.
The exact same show tomorrow. Tune in at 3.
As we slowly do the army crawl towards the Stanley Cup Final, Game 1, Wednesday night. In the meantime, we thank Elliot Friedman for joining us today. Enjoy another night off in the National Hockey League.